Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. Yes, indeed. Are we overburdened? Are we depressed? Are we in distress? Are we heartbroken? The advice is take it to the Lord in prayer. Do exactly what the Father did here in Mark 9. He brought his most difficult case to Jesus. Jesus is our best friend. Jesus, indeed, is the friend of all friends. What a friend we have in Jesus. Welcome, everyone, to Manna from Heaven. We're here in Mark 9:19, and Jesus answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long will I be with you? How long will I suffer you? Bring the boy to me." Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and we praise your name. And we honor you, Lord. We thank you for your Son, our precious Savior, our loving Redeemer, our Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for him. Holy Spirit, have your way with this lesson today. Instruct us and teach us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm pretty sure that some are saying, you know, this week's lesson doesn't apply to me because I don't have a demon-possessed child. Do you have a child that is unsaved? Do you have a child who's not walking with the Lord? Do you have a child that if he or she were to die today, they would open their eyes and find themselves for all eternity separated from God, destined to swim in a lake of fire? If you have one of those children, this lesson is for you. This lesson is for every mom and every dad who has a child whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Today's Friday, September the 2nd, and today we're talking about Jesus, the demon, and the boy. Jesus, the demon, one-on-one. Jesus and the boy, one-on-one. Yesterday we talked about Jesus and the boy's father. Yesterday we looked at how the father had faith, but his faith was defective. He believed, and he brought his son to Jesus, and he said, if there's anything you can do, I don't know if there's anything you can do. You're my last resort. I'm bringing him to you. And Jesus says to him, your faith is defective. And he says to Jesus, help thou my unbelief, my weak faith. Jesus says to him, to them that believe, all things are possible. Did you hear that? All things are possible to the man, to the woman who believes in the Word of God and believes in an unwavering manner. Do you believe that Jesus saves? Yes, Pastor, I do. I believe that Jesus saves, but not my kid. My kid is too far gone. Then you have defective faith. Well, Lord, I brought you my son, but he's got every argument. She's got every argument under the sun. And no matter how I try to reason with them, they don't seem to come. Well, put your trust in Jesus. He specializes in the most difficult cases. Now, let's look at Jesus and the demon. Jesus and the demon. What does Jesus do with the demon that's inside the boy? He evicts him. Jesus evicts the dumb and deaf spirit. That's Mark 9:25. And when Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. Now notice, Jesus tells us that the demon is a dumb and deaf spirit. You know, when you talk to your child about the Lord, you notice that they don't want to hear it. Well, who's made them deaf? And even when you give them your best arguments, it doesn't seem to compute. Who made your child dumb? Notice, Jesus is casting out a dumb and deaf spirit. A spirit that doesn't allow the child to reason and doesn't allow the child to hear. So Jesus addresses the spirit himself and says, come out, I charge you, come out of him. I hear you saying right now, Pastor, again, Pastor, you don't get it. My son, my daughter, they're not possessed. Well, okay, let's talk about this. All unsaved people have a great degree of either a great degree of satanic influence or a lesser degree of satanic influence. But all of them, or every unsaved person, has satanic influence in their life. I hope you wrote that down. Every unsaved person, every niece and nephew that you have who is pushing away the gospel when you make the presentation, every person who tells you, I don't want to hear it, auntie, I don't want to hear it, uncle, every child of yours who says, Dad, that's not for me, every one of your children, every one of your relatives who has not been born again to a greater or lesser degree have satanic influence on their life. Now, obviously, the boy in the story has Satan to a great degree or demons to a great degree because the demon has to be evicted from outside of the boy. The demon is in the boy. And you say, well, Pastor, that's not my case. Good, I get it. But the reason why your son won't listen, the reason why your daughter won't listen is because they too have been made to a lesser degree dumb and deaf. Well, Pastor, how's that even possible? Well, let me give you the scriptures. Let's go to the Bible. Everybody is satanically affected to an extreme, like in this story, or to a lesser degree, like in the case of our children. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Let's go to, here's a great scripture. Because you've been asking yourself, Pastor, I know that the family reunion is coming. I know that Thanksgiving dinner is coming. And I prepare and I do my research and I have some great arguments so that when I get that little open door opportunity, I can squeeze a few words in. And immediately once I present my arguments, my kids rebuff me. They don't want to hear it, or they don't hear it, or it doesn't compute. It seems to me their ear is closed, which means they're deaf, and it means even when I give them my best arguments, which anyone should see that I'm speaking the truth, it doesn't compute. Makes them dumb. Dumb and deaf. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Starting at verse 1, it says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, what ministry is that? The ministry of the preaching of the gospel. Seeing that we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, because you can preach to 100 and maybe one comes to Christ. So Paul says, we don't give up. We have, in addition, verse 2, in addition, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. We do not walk in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now look at verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, in other words, if people can't see it, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not. What has Satan done to every unsaved person? What does the Bible say? He has blinded the minds, making them spiritually dumb. You see, my brothers and sisters, you are trying to go up against a supernatural being. Satan is a supernatural being. He's operating with supernatural powers. And your power of reasoning, your apologetics, your polemics, if you will, your great argumentation is no match for Satan, the god of this world, who has blinded the minds of your son and your daughter. But if our gospel be hid, it be hid of them that are lost, in whom the god of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus Christ's sake. Verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So what does Paul do? He takes us back to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, the whole world was filled with darkness, and God said, let there be light. Now notice, it's not what you tell your children, but it's what God tells your children. Notice, my dear brothers and sisters, in this story in Mark chapter 9, Jesus said to the foul spirit, thou dumb and deaf spirit, be gone. Be gone. And it is the same thing with your child. Now, of course, you have to preach the gospel like Paul was preaching the gospel, like I preached the gospel. You have to share with them. But if God does not dispel the darkness, if God does not tell Satan, who has blinded the minds of your children, to be gone, they will never. Christ, because it is Christ who commands the light to come forth. You know, in cartoons, in cartoon strips, if you ever see a person that is trying to figure out a problem, and when they're confused, they have a question mark over their head, but when they get it, there's a light bulb that they put over their head. The light bulb is on. The light bulb speaks of illumination. The light bulb speaks of understanding. And so, listen, your kids are not going to understand until Christ intervenes. Until Christ causes the light of the gospel to shine on them. This is why Mark 9 and 2 Corinthians 4 lines up beautifully. Now, again, in Mark 9, we have an extreme case of demonic influence and possession. Here in 2 Corinthians, it's a lesser case. Why? Because people are not possessed necessarily, they're just satanically affected. What has Satan done to them? He has blinded their minds. This is why you can present the greatest arguments and they'll just walk away unaffected. Why? Because you cannot take your natural ability and try to match it to Satan's supernatural attack upon the child's mind. It must be countered with supernatural power. And the one with the supernatural power is Christ. So again, let's read the text. 2 Corinthians 4:3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are what? Lost, unsaved, unregenerate, like our children. In whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, preventing the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Why is it that you got it? Why is it that you received the gospel? Because there was a day when you were in darkness, blinded by Satan himself, but God gave you the gift of light, understanding, and illumination. Let me give you another scripture. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. This is the closing chapter of the first epistle of John. 1 John 5:18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one cannot touch him. Notice, Satan cannot touch those who are born again, those who had received what? The gift of salvation. Verse 9, and we know that we are of God. Who is that? The believer. And that the whole world lies under the power of the wicked one. Listen to me, my brothers and sisters. Every unsaved person, the world is divided into two groups, the people who are under God's covering and the people under Satan's covering. The people under God, Satan cannot affect. Satan cannot touch. Satan cannot eternally harm. The rest of the world is under Satan's control. They lie under the power of the wicked one. Well, you're saying, well, Pastor, how do we get our children to come to Christ? Ah, you bring your children to Christ in prayer that he may speak to Satan on their behalf and tell Satan to get his hands off your child. Thou dumb and deaf spirit, that spirit that doesn't allow your son and daughter to understand, that spirit that doesn't allow your son and daughter to hear the gospel, be gone. Be gone. Now, let me give you another scripture. Let's go to the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John, the fourth gospel. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the fourth gospel. The first chapter, it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. That's a reference to John the Baptist. This same John came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. Notice, light is capital L, referring to Christ Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him, the light, might believe. John was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. If your son and your daughter does not have a Jesus intervention, they will never see the light, because Satan has blinded the minds of all those who do not hear and do not comprehend the gospel. And the only way to get that reversed is to have the light, Jesus Christ himself, intervene in their life. This is why Mark says, he records that Jesus tells the Father, bring your son to me. I am the only one who can reverse this satanic attack on his life. He's dumb and deaf. He's in a state of unbelief. He's in a state where he cannot be reached. Bring him to me. I'll deal with the demon, and I will restore to you your son. One final scripture I want to bring to your attention is Matthew chapter 4. Let's go to Matthew 4, starting at verse 12. All of these have to do with the light. 2 Corinthians 4 has to do with the light. 1 John 5, 18 through 20 has to do with the light. John chapter 1, verses 6 through 9 has to do with the light. And here, Matthew 4, 12 through 20 have also to do with the light. Now notice. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, Jesus came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in great darkness saw great light. And to them that were in the region and the shadow of death, life is sprung up among them. Notice, these people in this region of Zebulun and Naphtali, where the original 12 tribes of Israel were located, these people were in utter darkness. Why? The whole world lieth under the power of wickedness. The whole world is under the control of Satan. They had no light. Here comes Jesus. He begins his ministry, and it's a fulfillment of what the prophet Isaiah had predicted, that these regions where there was utter darkness under the complete control of Satan will now see a great light. Verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway they left their nets, and they followed him. Here begins the great light campaign. Jesus is recruiting soldiers of the light, fishers of the light, men and women who would join him like you and I have joined him in preaching the glorious gospel. We are bringing light to places where there is darkness. You know, there was a period in church history called the medieval period or the Dark Ages. And why was it called the Dark Ages? Well, because the Roman Catholic Church made it their business to hide the Bible from people, and thus people were in darkness about the plan of salvation. But as soon as the Reformation, as soon as Martin Luther began to preach the gospel and the other reformers began to preach the Bible, then came the Enlightenment period, where people were turned from Satan to God. That's what happened, my dear brothers and sisters. So we go back now to Mark 9. Let's go back to Mark 9. Here Jesus is dealing with the demon. Mark 9:25. And Jesus saw the people came running together, the multitude, as he was about to exorcise the demon. He, Jesus, rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent sore and came out of him. So notice what happened to the demon. Jesus addresses the demon. Jesus evicts the demon. Now look at the rest of verse 25, or verse 26, excuse me. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of the child. And the child was one as dead, insomuch that many in the crowd said, he is dead. Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. So notice, what did Jesus do for the boy? He quickened him and gave him resurrected life. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2, because what Jesus did for the boy is found in Ephesians 2. Let's go to Ephesians 2. The boy seemed as though he was dead, but Jesus took him by the hand and did what? and quickened him. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or our living in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with whom? Peter? With James? With John? No. He has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And he has raised us up together and has made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So notice, we were dead like that little boy, but Jesus took him by the hand and said, arise. And the child arose. The child was dead in trespasses and sins, and he was given new life in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So notice, my brothers and sisters, we were in darkness until Christ intervened. Remember when St. Paul got saved? Let's go to Acts quickly. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. It says, starting at verse number 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus round about, and suddenly there shone round about him a light from heaven. Who is that light, my brothers and sisters? Oh, it is Jesus Christ. You see, Saul thought he was in the light. Saul thought he was doing God's work. Saul thought that he was working for the Lord. But he wasn't. He was in darkness. Then the true light, which lights every man, Jesus Christ, showed up at the road to Damascus. And as Saul journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined right about round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. My brothers and sisters, we're all in darkness. Listen, in a state of sin, we all think, when our parents speak to us and tell us to get right with God, we think we're right. But it's not until we confront Jesus, it's not until Jesus says, bring him to me, that we are shown that we're really in darkness. So my brothers and sisters, you and I are no match for a demon. You and I are no match for Satan. This is why God, according to 2 Corinthians 4, it is God who must command the light. If God doesn't command the light, your child will stay in darkness. If Jesus, the light, does not show up and confront your child and provide your child with divine intervention, the way this man who had a demon-possessed son was looking for divine intervention, your son, your daughter, will remain under the power and control of Satan, whether in an extreme manner or whether in a lesser manner. Nonetheless, your child is lost. Jesus says, bring them to him. You're going to be frustrated. You're going to discover that although you are well prepared and your arguments are well prepared, they are no match for a young man, a young woman, a son or a daughter who has been blinded by Satan. No match. Your arguments are no match unless God first commands the light. And when God commands the light, that light bulb over your son and your daughter's head will go on, and then you can preach to them. Then they'll listen. Then they'll hear. But God has to first command the light where there is utter darkness. And that, my brothers and sisters, only happens when we pray. We must enlist the mighty arm of God, or else we're just going to be frustrated in all of our efforts. So let us continue to pray. Let us continue to seek the Lord. Let us continue to trust that Jesus will give us the victory. Hallelujah.
Gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory.